Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com with another study in our series in the book of Revelation. We have been studying chapter 9, and in this study we'll cover the last several verses of 13 through 21. I'll begin by reading those verses, and then we'll go into a little introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one until we end with a summary and conclusion. Well, let's begin our study by reading those verses. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In these verses of Revelation 9, verses 13 through 21, we will once again see the focal point as being judgment upon the corporate church. We had already seen judgment on the church begin on May 21, 1988, right on up to May 21, 2011, back in Revelation chapter 8. And now we will continue to see judgment on the church ever since May 21, 2011, right on up to the last day. What we have here is a picture of the army of the elect bringing judgment through their proclamation of the Word of God, that there is no longer any possibility for eternal salvation to those who have remained in the Christian churches, who did not depart out from all the churches as commanded by the Lord during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, and who will come under great sorrow and distress on the last day when they see all the elect being raptured in heaven while they are left behind to be cast into the lake of fire. Furthermore, not only is there no possibility for eternal salvation to all those in the Christian churches ever since May 21, 2011, but there is also no possibility for eternal salvation to everyone who is unsaved and outside of the Christian churches ever since May 21, 2011. For we are told that they will not repent from worshiping false gods, nor will they repent from their evil works. Let's take a look at each verse one at a time and start with verse 13. There we read once again, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God." In this verse we first read, "And the sixth angel sounded." We had read that the fifth angel sounded all the way back in verse 1 of Revelation 9. And what followed there was a description of the first woe, which was judgment on the whole world ever since May 21, 2011. But now we are told in verse 13 that the sixth angel sounded, and what will follow is a description of the second woe, which is and will be further judgment on the corporate church ever since May 21, 2011. This description begins in that the Apostle John heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, since the number four taken from the four horns of the golden altar is symbolic of universality or worldwideness, and you can click on Bible meaning of number four to see that, and the word horns in the Bible is commonly symbolic of strength, then we can say that the voice John heard came from the universal or worldwide strength, that is the four horns, of the golden altar. Now, the golden altar was known as the altar of incense because incense was burned on it. We read about this altar in Exodus chapter 30, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, four square shall it be. And two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at eventime, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, nor shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Now, if you will remember, we read in Revelation 8, verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. This reveals that the prayers of the saints are correlated with the burning of incense. And in Psalm 141 we read in verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So, we can conclude that the burning of incense is a picture of the prayers of the elect going up to heaven before God. This means that when we read that John heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, we are being told that John heard a voice that originated from the universal or worldwide strength of the prayers of the elect, which came off the golden altar as incense before the Lord. In other words, the voice which commands the four angels to be loosed in order to bring judgment does so in answer to the prayers of the elect. We get an idea of what the elect had been praying before Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, in Revelation chapter 6, where we read in verses 9 through 11, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Here we see that the elect are praying that judgment would come so that their blood would finally be avenged. The voice then from the four horns of the golden altar is in response to such prayers. It is the elect who had been praying that judgment day would come, and it was the universal or worldwide strength that is symbolized by the four horns of these prayers that has resulted in judgment finally coming on May 21, 2011. Indeed, God has answered the prayers of the elect in bringing judgment upon the entire world. But now, we wonder just whose voice it is that comes from the four horns of the golden altar. Since the voice is in response to the prayers of the elect for judgment and vengeance upon their own blood, it is reasonable to see the voice as being that of Christ, for he is the one who stands for the elect. He is the mediator between God and the elect. He is the one who can command judgment to begin by saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Now moving on to the next verse, that is verse 14 of Revelation 9, we read, "Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." In this verse, we find that the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which as we had concluded is likely the voice of God himself in response to the prayers of his elect for judgment, is saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." This loosing of the four angels from the great river Euphrates in order to bring judgment has a double application. First, it has to do with what happened on May 21, 2011, when the elect worldwide, who are the four angels — remember, angels can be translated as messengers, so it can easily apply to the elect — the four angels were, in a sense, or in principle, loosed from the great river Euphrates, which is identified with Babylon, that is the world, because spiritually speaking, Satan and his kingdom of Babylon were conquered on May 21, 2011, and Satan was spiritually deposed and cast into the spiritual fire. This has, in principle, loosed the elect from the kingdom of Babylon. Second, what has been accomplished in principle on May 21, 2011 will be accomplished completely on the last day, when the elect, who are still held bound in body to the great river Euphrates, that is to Babylon, this world, are loosed in body when their bodies are raptured and transformed into glorious spiritual bodies, which no longer are bound in any way to Babylon, that is this world. Yet now let's take a closer look at our verse to reflect on how all this fits together. First of all, we know that the four angels refers to the elect all around the world, because the number four symbolizes worldwide. And the word for angels can just as well be translated as messengers, so that these four angels are actually worldwide messengers. We know that these worldwide messengers are the elect because only they could be spoken of as having been loosed from the great river Euphrates, that is, from this world. Why is this? Well, because the great river Euphrates is considered to be a part of the kingdom of Babylon and the border of to the kingdom of God, so to be loosed from this border is to be freed into the kingdom of God, which is something that could only apply to the elect. We can say that the elect were spiritually freed from Babylon when they were first born again. And they were, in principle, spiritually freed further from Babylon on May 21, 2011, when the kingdom of Satan was spiritually conquered. But they will not be completely freed from the kingdom of Babylon until on the last day, when their sinful bodies are transformed and completely taken out of this world. Then they will have been completely loosed from the great river Euphrates. So we must recognize that, yes, the elect throughout the world were loosed in principle from the great river Euphrates on May 21, 2011, because Satan and his kingdom were then spiritually conquered. But the elect will not be completely loosed from the great river Euphrates, that is, from Babylon, this world, until on the last day. So we see a double application to our verse. One on May 21, 2011, when the elect were, in principle, loosed from Babylon, when Satan and his kingdom were spiritually conquered, and one on the last day when the elect will be loosed completely from Babylon as they are raptured from this world and their sinful bodies are changed into glorious spiritual bodies, never to be bound to this world again in any way. Moving on to verse 15 of Revelation 9, verse 15. That verse reads, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Here we read, "And the four angels," or we could translate it messengers, "were loosed." This is referring to May 21, 2011, when all the elect worldwide, that is the four angels, were loosed from living in a world ruled over by Satan. For on May 21, 2011, Satan was spiritually conquered and deposed from ruling any longer over the world. Christ instead took his place and is now ruling with a rod of iron in judgment. This means that he is not ruling as a kind shepherd over the peoples of the world, but he is ruling in judgment, which is why he is said to be ruling with a rod of iron. For iron in the Bible is symbolic of judgment. Furthermore, if our verse has application to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, as previously stated, it also has application to the end of the world. For on the last day, the elect will be loosed once again, but this time they will not just be loosed from living in a world ruled by Satan, but they will be loosed from their own sinful bodies and this world entirely. This will be the complete and final fulfillment of our verse when all the elect, that is the four angels, are raptured and their bodies are changed into magnificent and glorious spiritual bodies fit for the new heaven and earth that will then be created at the Lord's command on the last day. Now, we are told that these four angels, namely the elect, who were loosed, were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Obviously, this event of loosing the elect was planned to take place at a very specific time. And of course, we now know that time to have been on May 21, 2011. The Lord indeed made great planning for this date. When we look at all the evidence and support for May 21, 2011, which you can click on to see all that support and evidence, and the events which took place on that date, we have to be utterly amazed. There are just so many things that come together in such a perfect way in the biblical calendar that May 21, 2011 is clearly and obviously thoroughly supported. If you haven't recently studied all the evidence and support for the biblical calendar and May 21, 2011, I highly encourage you to take a good amount of time to do so. When you really consider the evidence, you have to be in great awe, for it becomes clear that May 21, 2011 was thoroughly planned in advance to be the date on which Satan would be conquered, and the day on which the elect would be loosed from having to live in a world that was under Satan's control. But if May 21, 2011 was fully prepared in advance, as it was, so is the last day when the elect will finally be loosed from their bodies, that is, from the great river Euphrates, this world, to enter the new heaven and the new earth on the last day. So, once again, we see the double application of our verse. The elect, that is the four angels, were loosed on May 21, 2011 to bring judgment on the third part, and they will be loosed completely on the last day to bring judgment. Both things are true, and both things can be drawn from our verse. Also notice that the number four is being highlighted twice in our verse. It was first highlighted in that there were four angels loosed on May 21, 2011. The number four symbolizes that these angels, that is the elect, are worldwide. And you can click on the meaning to Bible number four to see that. But we are also told that the loosing of these four angels was prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Once again, we see the number four being highlighted by the four items listed, namely hour, day, month, and year. This is all apparently emphasizing that the loosing of the elect took place worldwide on May 21, 2011, and due to the double application nature of our verse, it will also take place worldwide on the last day when the elect are raptured. In other words, there won't be any particular locations from which the elect will be raptured or in a figure loosed from the great river Euphrates, but they will be raptured and loosed from this world and their bodies from all over the world, wherever they are. As we read in Luke 17:34-36, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now finally, we are given the reason why the four angels, that is the elect, were loosed on May 21, 2011, due to Satan and his kingdom having been conquered, and why the four angels, that is the elect, will be loosed on the last day through being raptured and changed. It is for to slay the third part of men. It is for to slay the third part of men. The word here, to slay, can be translated as kill. So we are being told that the elect were loosed on May 21, 2011 and will be loosed on the last day in the rapture for the purpose of killing the third part of men. But who are the third part of men? We studied and learnt about this in Revelation chapter 8, and We went over this, I believe, a little bit in the earlier parts of Revelation 9. But there are two possibilities that the third part can be. The first part can refer to the elect, such as we find in Zechariah 13, verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Obviously, the third part in this verse is giving reference to the elect, for they are the ones who in Christ are brought through the fire, who are refined as silver, and who are tried as gold. They are the only ones to whom the Lord can say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. But since our verse in Revelation 9 reveals that the elect are being loosed in order to bring judgment against the third part of men, there is no possibility that the third part of men here is giving reference to the elect. For the elect would not be bringing judgment against the elect. Otherwise, they would be bringing judgment against themselves. So we are left with the second possibility, which is that the third part of men can give reference to all those who are identified with Christ, but who are not actually saved, which would be all those who are now in all the so-called Christian churches around the world. We see an example of the third part of men being such a people in Ezekiel 5, when God is describing his judgment against Jerusalem. And since Jerusalem is a type of the New Testament churches, this is a picture of the judgment of the Lord coming against the third part of men, who are all the New Testament churches that are not saved. We read in Ezekiel 5, verse 12, a third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with the famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. The point being made here is that the third part is under the wrath of God, which refers to Jerusalem being under the wrath of God, which represents all the New Testament churches being under the wrath of God. So, the third part here symbolizes all those who claim a relationship with Christ, but who are not actually saved. That is, all the so-called Christian churches of our day who have not obeyed Christ's command to depart out from all the churches. And you can see why all true believers were called out of the Great Tribulation by clicking on the link, Why Leave All Churches. But now returning to our verse, we read, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Since we now know that the third part of men here must refer to all those in the churches, we can say that the reason for the four angels, that is the elect, being loosed on May 21, 2011, and being loosed on the last day of the world, is to kill all those in the churches worldwide. But how did the loosing of the elect on May 21, 2011 kill those in the churches? Obviously, it did not literally kill them, because the churches are still alive and well. So in what way were they killed? Well, the conquering of Satan and his kingdom spiritually on May 21, 2011, which loosed the elect from living in a world under the rulership of Satan and closed the door to heaven, guarantees that there is now no longer any possibility for salvation to anyone in the churches. Up until May 21, 2011, there was always hope that this one or that one might come out of the church where they could be saved. But now, that it is no longer possible, for salvation is now no longer possible in the church or in the world. It is in this sense in which all those in the churches, that is the third part, have been killed. Yes, ever since the elect were loosed on May 21, 2011, and any possibility for eternal salvation came to an end, the churches are completely destined for death. So much so that it is as if they have been killed already, for they have no eternal hope. But now, our verse also has application for the end of the world, if you will remember. For on the last day, the four angels, that is the elect, will be loosed from their sinful bodies and from this world forevermore. And as all those in the churches see the elect being raptured from this world, it kills them in that they will then realize that they are not saved and that they are in trouble with God. They will not only be tormented of mind, but they will also be annihilated on that same day. Hence, they will be killed forevermore. This will be a most terrible day for all those in the churches, but for the elect, it will be a most magnificent day, as they will be transformed into glorious bodies and raptured to dwell forevermore with their Lord in the new heaven and earth, to then be created from the ashes of this earth. Let's move on to verse 16 of Revelation 9. Verse 16. That verse reads, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them." In this verse, we have further description of the four angels, that is the elect, who were loosed in the previous verse. We read, "And the number of the army of the horsemen," and those horsemen we know are the elect, "were 200,000,000. Literally, the verse should read like this: "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 2 myriads, that's 10,000, of myriads, that's 10,000, and I heard the number of them." Thus, the number of the army of the horsemen is 2 × 10,000 × 10,000, which equals 200 million. This is the number of the army of the elect who come with Christ in battle against the world during Judgment Day ever since May 21, 2011. But this also reveals the number of the elect who come in battle on the last day when the elect are resurrected and raptured because of the double application nature of these verses. Therefore, the 200 million is the number of the elect coming in battle with the Word of God ever since May 21, 2011, and the 200 million will also be the number of the elect coming in battle with the Word of God on the last day, as they are all resurrected and raptured into the new heaven and earth in the sight of all the third part of men, that is, in the sight of all those who are in the churches. Now, the number 200 million breaks down into the spiritually significant numbers of 2 times 10 to the 8th power. The number 2 symbolizes the elect, that is, those entrusted with the Word of God. And the number 10 symbolizes completeness, and you can click on meaning of the Bible numbers 2 and 10 to see this. So the 200 million symbolizes the completeness of the elect, and therefore it need not be a literal number, but it can just simply be a symbolic number for the completeness of all the elect. Nevertheless, it is possible that the 200 million is a literal number as well, but I know of nothing at this time that would make this a fact. In fact, it appears that it is not a literal number, because otherwise there would have to be exactly 200 million who came against the third part of men on May 21, 2011, and exactly 200 million who are raptured to bring judgment against the third part of men on the last day, and that doesn't seem likely. So it seems more likely that the 200 million is a symbolic number just to refer to the completeness of the elect. Yet one thing is for sure, since God reveals the number 200 million, and then John says after this, I heard the number of them, there is clearly an emphasis being placed on this number. It is a number that God wants us to know. Why? Well, it could be because he wants us to take the number literally, which I don't think is the case. Or it is because he just simply wants us to recognize that the number of the elect, whatever that exact literal number is and will be, is a great multitude. It's the completeness of the elect. Well, let's move on to verse 17. Verse 17 of Revelation chapter 9. This verse reads, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. Here, John said, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. This is referring back to the horses and the horsemen mentioned in the previous verse, which numbered 200 million. But here we are told that John actually saw them, and what he saw was that the horsemen, who we know are the elect, have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. They don't have as breastplates of fire and as of jacinth and as brimstone, as the locusts had back in the earlier verses of Revelation chapter 9, but they actually have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. This is because breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone are identified with the elect, and these horsemen are not just as the elect in some way, as the locusts were, but they are the elect. So what we see is that the horsemen actually have the attributes of the elect because they are the elect. Now, let's briefly consider each of these attributes, that is, breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, to see how they all point to the elect. First, in that they wore breastplates reveals that these horsemen are priests, since breastplates are what priests wear. And in that these breastplates are of fire signifies that these priests are coming in judgment, because fire is symbolic of judgment in the Bible. So what these breastplates of fire point to are the elect, because the elect are priests who are coming in judgment ever since May 21, 2011. Second, the breastplates of the horsemen were not only of fire, but also of jacinth. Jacinth is only mentioned in one other place in the Bible, and that is in Revelation 21. And we read about that in, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 to get the context. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. Here, jacinth is one of the precious stones in the foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem, which symbolizes the elect. So we see that the breastplate of jacinth, just like a breastplate of fire, points to the elect. And finally, the breastplates of the horsemen were not only of fire and jacinth, but also brimstone. Brimstone, like fire, points to judgment. In fact, we are reminded of the fire and brimstone which came down upon Sodom and Gomorrah in Luke 17, where we read in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Thus, we can conclude that the horsemen that John saw in his vision are the elect. They are the ones who, with breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, come as priests in judgment against the third part of men ever since May 21, 2011. And since the breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone are a grouping of three, the number three is being brought to the forefront, which symbolizes that this is all the purpose of God. Yes, it is the purpose of God that the elect come in judgment against all those people now in the churches worldwide. We don't physically fight them in any way, but as we declare and stand firm on that salvation has come to an end and that there is no hope for anyone in any church, we have, along with God, brought judgment upon them. Now, returning to the latter part of our verse, once again we read, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. We are first told that the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. This is simply revealing that the judgment of God is devouring the third part as the heads of lions would seek out and then devour their prey. And just as the prey of a lion can be snared before they know it, so also were all those in the churches snared ever since May 21, 2011, before they actually knew it. But on the last day, when all the elect are raptured and changed, and those in the churches see it, then they will realize that they have been snared. But it will be too late for them. They shall then be devoured by the lion of the tribe of Judah, and there shall be no escape. Next, we read that out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. All three of these things, the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, symbolize judgment. And this judgment is symbolized by three things, because the number three means that this judgment upon all those in the churches, that is the third part of men, is the purpose of God. And you can click on the meaning of Bible number three to see that. This is exactly what we had found in the first part of our verse when it stated that the horsemen, that is the elect, have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. In that statement, the number three is obviously being featured once again, so this point is really being driven home to us, namely that it is the purpose of God that judgment ever since May 21, 2011 is upon all those in the churches, namely the third part. And just how has the judgment of God come upon them? Well, it has given them over to their sin, and it has removed any possibility of salvation from them. Before May 21, 2011, there was always the possibility that an individual could come out of the church and be saved. But now that salvation has been removed from the entire world, there is no longer any possibility of them becoming saved. Even if someone comes out from the church in search of salvation, they will not find Christ, There is no longer any hope. There is no longer any salvation. Remember what we read back in the earlier, I believe it was verse 6 of Revelation 9? That many shall seek death but shall not find it, and that meant that many shall seek salvation or death in Christ, but they will not find it because salvation is no longer possible. This is the judgment that has come upon the third part, and this judgment is being pronounced by the Word of God through the mouths of the elect. Hence the fire and the smoke and the brimstone. The judgment of God is said to come from their mouths. Okay, let's move to verse 18 of Revelation 9. Verse 18, and let me read that verse to refresh our memories. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Here in this verse, we have reiterated what was just said in the previous verse, namely that the third part, that is all those in the churches, was killed by the fire and the smoke and by the brimstone. The fire and the smoke and the brimstone are symbolic of judgment. And in that there are three things listed, fire, smoke, and brimstone, places emphasis on the number three, which is symbolic of being the purpose of God. So we can say that by the judgment of God were all those in the churches, the third part, killed. And once again, how were they killed? Well, on May 21, 2011, all those in the churches were not physically killed, but they were killed in the sense that they no longer have any hope for eternal salvation. This has, in a sense, already killed them because now it is absolutely certain that they will die. Before May 21, 2011, there was always the possibility that one here and one there might come out of the church and become saved. But now, since there is no longer any possibility for salvation in the church, nor outside of the church either, there is no hope whatsoever for those still in the churches ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. They might as well be considered dead because certainly they will die either in the course of their own lives and especially on the last day when they will be annihilated forever in the lake of fire in which they will be cast. Yet there is another application of our verse in which all those in the churches, that is the third part, will be killed, and that will be on the last day. When the rapture takes place and all those in the churches see that they have been left behind, this will first kill them spiritually in that their beliefs will be silenced and shown to be in error. And then second, it will kill them literally because they will be shortly thereafter annihilated as they go up in flame along with this whole world and Satan and his kingdom. So we see that the killing of the churches is in two parts. First, they were already killed on May 21, 2011 when their deaths became guaranteed. And second, they will be killed on the last day as they see the elect being raptured while they are left behind to burn in the literal lake of fire along with Satan and all his followers, both celestial and non-celestial. Now, before moving to our next verse, we should make note that the judgment of God, that is the fire, smoke, and brimstone, is said to come out of their mouths. This is because it is the Word of God who is bringing judgment, and the Word of God comes out of the mouths of the elect as they declare what the Bible teaches. It is not that there is literal fire, smoke, and brimstone coming from the mouths of the elect. But as we said before, the fire, smoke, and brimstone is symbolic of judgment. And therefore, it is the judgment of God which comes out of the mouth of the elect as they declare it. ever since May 21, 2011, with no salvation for anyone ever again. This is the judgment of God. Verse 19, let's move on to that verse. Verse 19 of Revelation 9, verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. In this verse we are told that the power of the elect to kill the third part is in their mouth and in their tails. We can understand why the power or authority to kill is in the mouths of the elect, because it is the word of God that the elect proclaim. And certainly the word of God, who is God himself, has authority to kill. But it is a little more difficult to understand what it means that the authority of the elect to kill is in their tails. In order to begin to understand this, we must first know what the word tail represents in the Bible. And we've gone over this before in Revelation 9, but let me cover it again. We read in Isaiah 9, verse 15, "The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." So from this verse we discover that the tail is the false prophet, which means that when we read that the power of the elect is in their tails, it is revealing that the elect are coming in judgment with the same power that false prophets would bring. And what is the power or authority that false prophets bring? Why, it is the power or authority to lead people so that they will not be saved. This is the same power which the elect now have. For what they are doing is leading people into the fact that there is no longer any salvation for them, that salvation has come to an end. Thus, what does it mean that the power of the elect is in their tails? It means that the power of the elect is that of a false prophet, in that neither the elect nor the false prophet can bring salvation during these days of judgment ever since May 21, 2011. Furthermore, in that the elect cannot bring salvation in these days of judgment is why we read that their tails were like unto serpents. In other words, just like serpents, that is, evil powers, cannot bring salvation, so also the elect cannot now bring salvation, but they can only bring judgment. This is how the tails of the elect were like unto serpents. Neither false prophets, serpents, nor even the elect can bring salvation ever since judgment day began. This is how they are all alike in these terrible days. Then, we read that the tails of the elect had heads. The tails of the elect had heads, and with them they do hurt. Since we now know that the word tails refers to false prophets, we can understand why it is said that the tails of the elect had heads. Why, it is because the tails of the elect refers to the false prophets who would obviously have heads. But then we are told that with their heads they do hurt. This can be understood to mean that their heads cause hurt, because on their heads is their mouth, and from their mouth are the words which bring judgment, and it is these words of judgment which bring hurt. In this way, the heads of the elect are bringing hurt to the peoples of the world. Yet there is another way that we might see this verse. Remember what Isaiah 9 said? It says, "The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." Now, if we take the head of the tail of the elect to be the ancient and honorable, since we are told in Isaiah 9 that the head is the ancient and honorable, then we read that the tails of the elect had heads, and with them they do hurt. We are being told that the elect do hurt people with the ancient and honorable, that is, their heads, And who is the ancient and honorable? It is Christ himself, of course. Therefore, when we are told that the tails of the elect had heads, and with those heads they do hurt, this is telling us that the elect do hurt people with Christ. That is their head. In other words, as the elect declare the word of God, that is Christ, it hurts people because it reveals to them that they are under the wrath of God and there is no hope for their eternal salvation. Okay, we're going to cover just two more verses, and we're going to combine those two verses, sort of speak, into one verse. And that's verses 20 through 21. Let me read those verses. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In these verses, we were first told that the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Since the context of our verse is that of the third part being killed by the elect, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues have to be referring to everyone other than the third part. Thus, the rest of the men is referring to all those who are outside of the so-called Christian church. They would be the approximate 5 billion people who claim no relationship to Jesus Christ. It is these people who were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Now, how is it that all these approximate 5 billion people who have no relationship to Christ were not killed by these plagues? Well, there is a twofold answer to this, because there is a double application to our verses. First, there is the application on May 21, 2011. When May 21, 2011 came, those who were outside of the churches, who claimed no relationship with Christ, they were not killed, but they were obviously permitted to continue believing in their false beliefs and philosophies throughout Judgment Day. We see this in that they were not silenced, but they were permitted to continue as is ever since May 21, 2011. Second, there is the application on the last day. When the rapture takes place, all those who are not of the third part are not initially killed in the sense that they will not be plagued by the rapture like the third part will, because they were not expecting to be in a rapture, and in most cases they didn't even know what the rapture was. While the third part, on the other hand, will have all their hopes dashed to pieces when they realize that they are not being raptured, but instead are left behind to suffer complete destruction, which is exactly what they thought would not happen to themselves. So the plagues, which word can be translated as stripes, put on the third part will be much greater than that which comes on the rest of humankind. And this is exactly how we read that it would be in Luke 12, verses 47 through 48. And that servant, which knew not his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. This is referring to the third part. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. That is, this is referring to the rest of humankind. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now moving on, we read that all those outside of the churches, that is, the rest of humankind, even though they were not killed by the plagues which killed all those within the churches, that is the third part, they repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So what this is revealing is that ever since May 21, 2011, no one has repented unto salvation. And due to the double application nature of our verses, it also reveals that on the last day at the rapture, no one will repent unto salvation either. And of course, the reason why no one will repent is because there is no more salvation possible ever since May 21, 2011. Okay, we could discuss these verses, of course, in much more detail and more thoroughly, but we're going to end this study now at this point because my time for recording is running out. So let's conclude. What we learned in Revelation 9, verses 13 through 21, is that when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, the elect were loosed from this world to proclaim judgment against all the so-called Christian churches, that there is no longer any possibility for anyone in them to become eternally saved. Furthermore, the elect will be completely loosed from this world to bring judgment against all the churches on the last day when they are raptured to heaven. For at that time, all the churches will see the elect being raptured, while they are all left behind for judgment in sorrow and great distress, as they finally realize that they will be cast into the lake of fire to be annihilated forevermore. Even as will the rest of unsaved peoples in the world who were not eternally saved by May 21, 2011, for they did not repent of worshiping their false gods and idols, nor did they repent from their evil works. How could they? For any possibility, as we've said over and over again, any possibility for eternal salvation came to an end when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Now with that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.